You good, Joel? All in the dark?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to get it to where I don't look like the villain from Inspector Gadget, but I'm having a hard time.
This is how we always record. He always looks like a bad guy in our videos. That's why we don't put it on YouTube.
This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 118 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. We have a special episode. There is a book series that's coming out very soon. Pre-orders start on February 14. It's for G.I. Joe that was released within the country of Spain. So the book is G.I. Joe in España, 88 to 94. It's 8 hardback books that cover 7 years plus a bunch of extra stuff. And Joel, you and I were lucky enough for them to come on and talk to us about it. I loved this interview. I thought these guys were incredibly charming as well as ballsy to put out this level of material. I don't know, man. What do you think? I'm excited.
I think it's going to be an awesome book. If you browse their Instagram, you can see the layout, you know, for a handful of things from our earlier conversations, like, don't miss out on a book that you have any interest in because they're running the numbers that they get and that's it. It's not going to be like a web store. It's not going to be, it is, you know, you'll hear they're bypassing Kickstarter and they're doing a pre-order.
They're making the book for themselves and we are lucky enough to have a buy-in option, which is the same thing that Brian and Patty have done. It's the same thing that so many others in the past have done. I don't want to give away the farm. I don't want to like tell everything about our conversation with them before we hit play on this conversation, but I am dead ass excited.
Yeah. I mean, I was excited once you introduced the Instagram to me and then talking to them. I mean, I was already pretty much sold before that, but now it's a must be purchase for me.
The pre-order is going to run for a little bit, so if you don't have the money on February 14, don't fear. You have a few weeks, maybe a month or so. Get it together. Get this book. Look at their Instagram if you have any doubts, even after the incredible conversation you're about to hear. If this isn't something that compels you, you might be dead inside.
And with that, let's press play.
So coming out soon is a series of 8 books that'll cover the 7-year period where Hasbro was distributing G.I. Joe action figures in Spain, 1988 through 1994. We have David, Jose, and Eduardo on with Joel and I to discuss it. Now, you guys cover in these books, just from the pictures I've seen, way more than just the action figures. You guys are talking about the miscellaneous merchandising items and a lot of different things, all from just within the borders of Spain, the country itself. This is exciting. And for that, like, how many people are on this team to make this huge project come together?
Well, the main core of the all the work, it's been done by 5 people, 5 persons. But as the work is so huge, we've had a lot of help from a lot of friends and people who want to join us and share their collections, their knowing, or anything that we need. We are very lucky as we have a lot of friends join with us to help make this dream come true.
That's incredible. That's a great answer. So five main people, but I know like you're not just getting help from within the borders of Spain. You're reaching out to people all over the world, I guess, for this, or is this mostly just encapsulated within your core community there?
I asked for help to some people from France and from UK, because there were some missing pieces, no, in Spain. So we did a mock-up with a mock from France or Belgium, no, and changed the file card, or put the name in Spanish, or changed some labels, no. We ask for help to some people across the world, but mainly were in Italy and France.
It just kind of goes to how international not just the brand are, but we as a community are, we as a people are. We are 7 hours difference, and yet we are the same people. We're the same body, you know, which makes me wonder, like, I know how I got into G.I. Joe as a kid. It was everywhere when I was a child. But, you know, what about G.I. Joe captivated you guys, not just as a child, but like as an adult to keep bringing G.I. Joe with you through the years?
Well, I was impressed by the first wave of figures in Spain when I was a child. I remember to show them at the mall and stay hours reading all the files and watching all the draws that were amazing. And I only left the toys for a few years. I begin to my life as a collector in 1999. So I don't know. I think that it's like nostalgia. It's something that I enjoy a lot. And when I think that almost like all collectors, I want to first have things that I miss when I was a child, after have the things that I don't have when I was a child. After that, I want the things that were not released in Spain, but it's part of the line. After that, you begin to search for international difference. After all, you look for the car bags, the boxes, and after you go and write a book because you want to interview the people that were working in the line when you was a child, and well, we are here today.
Basically, that yes, I started with the comic, and the comic lead me to the toys, no, and after that it was a love story and until now, and not only the toys, but everything, merchandising, stickers, catalogs. So my life right now is around the brand. So the last stage has been to write a book. It's the top, no, of the I don't know how explain it. As a collector, you pass to different stages, no? And the top one, I think, is to write a a book about the brand you love.
There's a difference between just being a consumer collector and being a creative collector, finding a way to give back to the community and to the passion. And I agree with you. I think what you guys are doing is sort of at the height and the pinnacle of a collector lifestyle, is not just buying, but also giving back. You know, Eduardo, you're in a different part of the world than they are. In fact, you're in the same time zone as Joel. How did you get into collecting G.I. Joe as a kid, and what kept you into it over all these years?
I think it's the same thing that unites us all. I mean, it's a nostalgia in the end of it. But basically, I started off, you know, like David, just with the cartoons, and I loved them. And I remember as a kid, you know, I was playing football or riding a bike, and you would run home because the G.I. Joe cartoon was coming up. You know, there was no Netflix. There was nothing that you could schedule to see what you wanted at your demand. So either you were there to see it or watch it, or you would miss it. So I remember doing all of that and then falling in love with this line and then trying to replicate all that in my room then when I go to play. And I would do all the scenes from the cartoons and then, of course, add more stories on top of that. And I started my love for G.I. Joe back there. Then, obviously, as we grew up, I kind of stopped a little bit and then, you know, deviated myself with life and all of that. And then one day I remember opening one drawer and I found one of my old G.I. Joes there. And I was like, oh, my God, it hit me. You know, it was like an atomic bomb. It's like, boom. And And it was sci-fi, imagine. It was just like this bright green figure that has nothing to do with the traditional G.I. Joes. But I just opened the drawer and I saw it. It reminded me of all the fun that I had. And I said to myself, I have to get my Joes back. And that's what all started. And then I started collecting Joes. I did all the U.S. line. Then when I kind of did all of that and all the mailways, then I did like, okay, I'm going to do international. Little did I know what I was getting into, because that's like a deep rabbit hole of variants and all sorts of stuff, you know. And I'm like David as well. Like I not only love the toys themselves, but also the background, like where they come from, what happened in Greece, what happened in China, how did these toys get to Japan, why were they made in Spain or in Ireland or in China or in Japan itself, or like all of these things, you know, kept me amazed at the line. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna try and collect all the Joes from all the countries. Of course, that was a failure, but you know, I just started there, I kind of like went down and kind of specialized my collecting, where I was like, I love the mailaways, the baggies, and the bubbles. Like all the different, the bubbles are like the pilots, you know, that are inside of a bubble. So I specialize myself in that area all around the world, all the baggies, like all the special promotions, factory samples, you know, and all of that. And then the other focus I have is basically errors, factory errors.
Ooh, that's a big focus.
You know, all types of errors, not only paint job errors, but, you know, card errors or figures misplaced or accessories misplaced or upside down bubbles in the other side of the card and stuff like that, like all kind of crazy stuff. And that's what actually took me to meet these great guys in Spain. Like I've been to the conventions and all of that and meeting them and learning so much from them, you know, throughout the years about just what happened in one country. You know, it's just amazing the amount of information these guys have put into this book. So I'm impressed as well for their job, and I'm proud of them. And let's just keep talking, because this will definitely get interesting.
Yeah.
A big question that I have is, with the Spain release figures, if you were to translate the English original release, would it match the file cards from Spain? Did they change the birthplaces? Did they change the names? Like, because I know in Action Force in the UK, they had, you know, changed birth locations and stuff to kind of make the kids in the UK feel like these are our guys.
Yeah, the first thing that you have to know for that is that Europe works as a unity for Hasbro. So The Central was in UK, and Eaton's that released in Europe passed through UK first. You have to among a total number of items, so and item can be released in Europe. So the ad of every country made that this item be released in Spain or in UK, but you don't find any item that was sold in just one country. So as all the information has to pass first by UK, and it should, but not always happen, but it should. The files that we have should be the UK's files. But when we were working in the book, we realized that sometimes that doesn't happen. The really is that Hasbro in Spain, Milton Bradley, because in Spain toys were not released by Hasbro. It was they were released by Milton Bradley. Have their own translators and change the names, change some file cards. They used to make jokes inner jokes of workers in the factory or at merchandising. So, like original files that have names. Of the work like Ron Rudat or like something like that. In Spain, there are file cards that have the name of a work in Milton Bradley. Even some file cards have been changed at all and told a different story that is an inner joke of the company. So we have very funny file cards that hasn't have much sense with the toy line and the comics or the cartoons.
That's incredible.
One thing that is important is that the line online was released in Europe as international heroes. Mm-hmm. So what we have, you can find in Spanish or Italian or French or UK file cards, is that the birthplace of almost all the characters has been changed. And they are from Italy, from UK. There's a lot of USA characters, but you can find people from Italy or from France, German, not from Spain. You know, we don't have we don't have any Spanish Joe.
That's interesting. That's wild.
Yeah, they were international, but not Spanish.
We don't know why they were from Germany, like Psych Out, or Austrian, like Blizzard, but from Spain only in Action Force was Matt.
It was only in the Palitoy Action Force figure released in the UK.
Okay, so the Milton Bradley did not keep Mutt as being from Spain. That's interesting.
No.
And I was actually curious about how distribution happened for you guys, because I didn't know if it was Hasbro or Palitoy. But so Milton Bradley, that's kind of crazy, because from the US, like my relationship to Milton Bradley is all board games.
Yeah, in Spain they develop all those card games but they joint venture with Hasbro to release figures.
So you mentioned in 1999 you went from being an adult who had successfully escaped childhood to being pulled back into G.I. Joe. I had a similar situation. I started a new job and there were Star Wars collectors who knew I was a comic book collector and asked me why I didn't have the G.I. Joe toys. And I said, you know, I don't have the money or time for that. And they jumped on eBay at the time. And the next thing I knew, I owned two Argentinian G.I. Joes. I had Satan and Ninjaku. You know, I knew as a child, there was a book that came out that said, you know, G.I. Joe is released in all these other countries, Russia and Brazil and, you know, the United Kingdom. But I didn't have any pen pals and I didn't have any way of accessing such things. And I'd forgotten about it until I had these two South American Joe's in my hand. Unfortunately, I was very broke, so it took me a number of years to get back into collecting the toys full time. But it captured my imagination for where all in the world these are. Eduardo, you had mentioned that as well. I went down a rabbit hole of yojo.com and talking to other friends who were, you know, from other countries that lived near me. I've been captivated ever since. So I've only owned one Spain G.I. Joe. It was Iron Grenadier. And I had a friend who's a huge Iron Grenadier guy, and he stayed on me for 6 months until I finally sold it to him. So I am currently without a Spain G.I. Joe. I'm going to have to find another one at some point. But I'm glad, you know, I got it to a buddy. You know, with you guys coming up like 88 to 94, you know, I didn't know if the comic books or cartoons were shown, but both of you have said like you grew up on the cartoons and the comics. You know, who is your favorite character in the line? Who's the one that captures, like, if you were, do you army build or do you have a focus of like one character?
Well, Blowtorch, I have everything about him. I have a pencil case, a satchel, a folder, and I don't know, original art, a lot of things about it. And I love it him because of the appearance, his uniform, the fire. No, I don't know. It's a funny guy. So I love him.
For me, Destro. I love that character. I love his dual character. I like his sense of honor, and he has the baroness. No more ask.
No. What else can you ask, right?
No. Yeah.
Well, I don't have like a favorite character. Like, I love them all, really. And like, I've been collecting like so broadly that I don't have like a figure focus. I love certain characters like Cobra Commander, Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow. These are figures that I like. Viper. But it's not like that I army build them or whatever. It's just I love the figures, but I really try to collect them all. I like them all, not collect them all, but I like them all. So there's not a particular favorite for me.
I'm a Roadblock guy myself. I am big into Roadblock, but I don't do the merchandise. And now, David, you talking about like pencil cases and satchels for Blowtorch. I don't need you to talk about that. That inspires me to try to do that for Roadblock, and my wallet can't handle that.
Well, I think Roadblock is one of those figures that David probably can tell you, or Jose, but I know that he had like a really funny, weird, like file card, I think, in Spain, right? Where I think he was like a cook or something like that, right? Something like that. Am I wrong?
Roadblock, no. It was a character like Falco who loved salads I don't know, Pathfinder, who loved banana sweets. Some funny facts like that.
That's awesome. I have a French and I have a Belgian Roadblock, but I didn't know if Roadblock was released in Spain. If he was, I have to track him down. It's required.
It's hard to find. Maybe you can find one, Tiger Force one, but not DC either. It's a figure who is... is loved by a lot of people, so it's difficult to get.
If it was easy to do, it wouldn't be fun, right?
Right.
So do you guys collect anything outside of G.I. Joe, or is G.I. Joe kind of the one big thing?
well, I, I collect also comics from Marvel mainly. And in the past, Marvel Universe figures, but now only focused in G.I. Joe.
I'm a toy collector. I love Star Wars. I have Visionaries. I have Cops. I have, I don't know, anything. I have Marvel figures.
Motu.
Yeah, I love toys. I love 80s toys. And it's I don't know how to express it, but I'm in love with all that kind of things. So, but G.I. Joe has my heart. So it's my first line, but not the only one.
Well, yeah, I'm like Jose, man. I love all toys. In this life, I ended up now owning like my own store online, and I basically sell all toy lines. I just love it. And I'm trying to, you know, grow my business so I can stay there. I don't have to do anything else and just enjoy the toys, because I, you know, toys bring me so much joy. But yeah, like them, I do Motu. I mean, I have RoboCop. I have, Visionaries. I have Ninja Turtles. I have, I mean, it's just endless. It's just toys in general, and especially vintage toys captivate me. So I enjoy them all.
I am G.I. Joe number one. I do collect other things, but when it comes down to it, if I only have $5, that $5 goes to Joe before it goes to anything else. Well, and then, you know, Joel here, he does not collect O-ring at all. He does not collect vintage even a little bit. he's a modern guy. He doesn't understand the love of fragile figures breaking in your hand and you crying for days.
He's a fortunate one.
I will pretty much, like, I mean, G.I. Joe is definitely my main focus, obviously, but I will collect anything in that scale or that size. So, anything that I can find to mix in with G.I. Joe.
You know, one of the things that you guys mentioned earlier was that sort of the progression of a collector and the pinnacle of a collector is to not just buy the things and collect them, but actually to do the research, to have the conversations worldwide, to partner with people all over, gather the information, and then share that information, whether it's a website or for you guys, it's a book. You know, how did this project begin? Because this is not a small wake up one morning and say, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to make a book. This is much bigger than that. Like, how did this start?
It was a project at the beginning in the mind of a member of the group. He always wanted to do a book about the shows in Spain, but he never started to do it or didn't know how to deal with it, no? So finally in 2018, I talked to him, about other people to help him to do it. And then add some members to the mix, no? And after that, we set up a group in WhatsApp and started talking about it. Later he started taking pics of his collection, and the others decided to do other parts of the book, no? One writing text for each figure, another designing the pages, no? And at the end, we are here. So it has been a long journey of 3 years, but it was worth.
One other the other person that mentioned David, I've that it's called David too. We have a first book about Motuk, Master of the Universe Classified. We've done it in about 3 years ago. We have the experience of doing a book, and in our mind always have been the idea of do something with the Joe collection, that it's our favorite collection, but it was a huge work. So when David told me that he has spoken with Neil, the other boy, they all begin to run, all the pieces begin to join with another, and we are here, and it was funny, and I'm very happy of have done it.
So one person had the idea, one person had the guts, they came to the guy with the experience, and then you guys pulled in a whole team, and here we are. Like 3 years to make this series of books kind of highlights that no matter what you're doing, this is not an easy weekend chore. This is a task.
Yeah.
Without the love and the passion, this would never happen. Looking at what you guys are bringing to market, it looks like 8 separate books, but you're bringing it to market as one thing. When I was looking at it, you know, 8 books, and I am absolutely going to say this wrong, so please correct because my pronunciation, but it's G.I. Joe in España, 88 through 94.
Mm-hmm.
That's American close. So 8 books, 88 to 94 is 7 years. Am I assuming correctly that 7 books is one for each year, and then an 8th book is more information, interviews, crazy stuff? Or I'm guessing.
Yes, it's the 8th book is the history of the line in Spain.
Nice.
In there you can find people that have worked there. You can see a photograph of the machine that made the killer whale for Europe. You can see it's the history of the line.
Oh,
of,
man.
In Spain.
Interviews and some insight of the line or how the commercials were done. Some things that that the average fan doesn't know. Some of the guys traveled to meet with the employees and asking them about how the file cards were written, or how they did the presentations to a vendor. So all that things are in this book.
That's incredible. I was guessing, and that's incredible. I'm very excited to see pictures of the machine or to see interviews with people. Since it's Spain, I'm assuming that these are Milton Bradley employees.
And the only thing I can add to that, man, is that you have no idea how hard these guys have worked. And like, I've been in the group with them, just kind of watching what they're doing and, you know, being along with them as their journey began to bringing it now to the end. And basically, you know, it's interesting when people read these series of books, they're going to get all the facts and all the real information. There's no crap in there. There's no, you know, nobody made anything up. They really went to the last mile to kind of like figure out why something was a certain color or a certain word or a certain, like, why there was a sticker on the card or not, or it was this because of a promotion, was this because of somebody just made something up and put it there because they wanted to. Like, they really went, like, all in to figure out the history, and that's why they spoke to so many people, so many collectors, people in different countries, trying to get all this information. And then they would go back and forth and revise it and go. So, you know, I really think that the end product that everybody's going to read and look at has all the top information of how these figures came to be in Spain and why they were released and how. And it's really interesting, all the details they put into it. So it's really going to be fun for all of us to read it and look at the pictures and go through it and have fun looking at the weird names that Spain came up for some of the figures, you know. So it's just, it's really interesting, and it's really well done.
Speaking of really interesting and well done, I'm looking on Instagram at your Cobra Commander page. This layout is flat incredible. This layout is insane. If this is anything what the book is going to look like, that's one of the best layouts I've ever seen. I have a lot of books.
Well, yes, it's all characters will have that kind of page. If you open the book, on the left you will see the blister, the Spanish blister, at 1-to-1, more or less. I think that we success to have 1-to-1 size, and on the right you will find the back of the car back, the file card in the Spanish file card, and a text that may explain that's what I've done, so I can explain to you it. The first thing that I wanted to share is the difference between the original file card and the UK file. As you can see the difference with the Spanish. So why they change things? There's a, for example, for in the first years in 1988, all that all war of a real weapon or a real military unity was robbed from the file card, because when they were doing their market study, they appreciate that the Spanish people are not very into military things. So they wrap all this information. So the Spanish file card lose all of this. Something that doesn't happen in the UK file, for example. It's and after that, we try to explain some difference between the different texts from it always. Have the comparison between USA file, UK file, and Spanish file, so you can appreciate the work that Milton Bradley do in Spain working with that file card.
That's, oh my God, I keep saying the word incredible, but this is really, I am truly amazed and in awe of this, you know, because I'm still, I have your Instagram open because I'm looking at catalog pages and, like, what you just walked through. I'm looking at just the Instagram post, and I'm blown away by the formatting. I'm blown away by the details and all the little bits where you have vulture, or I'm not going to try to pronounce that, but B-U-I-T-R-E.
Buitre.
In looking at these books, you just laid out sort of how you're going to do one of the characters, but how do you guys incorporate all the merchandising? Because I know that was an important part of this book as well.
The focus is in the figures. In any book from 1 year, you'll find figures, you find vehicles, you find leaflets, you will find adverts, and if there's any promotion or anything that was released in a newspaper or something like that, contest, you'll find that.
After. Wow.
Yes, it was a huge work to find all of this. It's I think that we have been very exhausted. It means I don't know if the word is correct.
Exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Exhausted. Yeah, we had find anything, that was released in Spain talking about G.I. Joe. You also find even a letter on a newspaper of a person who was worried about a toy line of weapons or something like that, and we can find it too. It's funny. And after that, we find all the merchandising that was sold to. You find David, the Fosquitos
sticker books. Battleship game.
I didn't know that they did a G.I. Joe battleship way back then. I only knew about the modern one that came out over here. So that's incredible. And honestly, the fact that you guys only took 3 years and not like 15, like, that's impressive. It seems like a lot of work for just 3 years.
Yes.
Well, it has been tough, but we also had help from a lot of guys who sent us letters and scans of distractions of the figures, or a letter from the club of G.I. Joe, wherever you can imagine. No,
we almost get the letter that is sent by Milton Bradley when you won a contest. And there are some material that is, it was very hard to find, but we can get it for the book. It was very exciting.
When you lose.
When I lose
when
mine.
You lose,
yeah,
also.
I lose mine. I have had that letter in my parents' room since 1990. And I don't find it for the book. And I was very worried about that. I have a letter that sent me Milton Bradley. Not Milton Bradley. Kellogg's. On a promotion by Kellogg's. They release six
cereal.
Figures.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but they don't include the weapons for the figure. Then you send. You have Strong Shadow, but you have the backpack, the sword. I don't know why this works, but you don't have the knives or the bow. And I write a letter to Kellogg's asking why, and they answered me. And I have this letter to bring to this moment. I have lost it now. I'm very worried about it. Sorry.
Kellogg's was the same one that did Lifeline over here with no weapons. So I wonder if that was just a Kellogg's thing internationally.
It was what they told me. I remember the letter, but I don't have it. But they told me the same to me. We don't have a Lifeline in Spain. We have six figures from the original series. We have Hardball, Gung-Ho,
Lightfoot.
Raptor, and I miss one, and Lightfoot. No, you have stole Lightfoot.
That's a much better Kellogg's offer than just one Lightfoot or a Lifeline over here.
Missed it with My Little Pony. You can choose a Joe figure or a My Little Pony figure. Yes, I have to eat a lot of Kellogg's because I have to order one G.I. Joe and one Little Pony for my sister. So I was the only who eat the Kellogg's. I eat a lot of Kellogg's in this time.
I was never allowed any sort of mail away as a child. My mother thought it was a scam and that the companies were going to rob me of my $2. So I was never allowed. With this book, since you guys are bringing these eight books out as a single purchase, are you guys going to be selling that directly yourselves? Are you going to try like the Kickstarter model with you know, MTF and Skeletron and Carson and everybody going through Kickstarter? Are you doing that way? Or how are you partnering with a publishing company? How are you bringing these to sale?
Well, we are going to offer a pre-order on our websites and all the media sites because we think that it was the easy way to done for us. We don't work and we don't live writing books. And it takes more of time if we do in a different way. So one thing that we want to do from the very beginning of it was only open it when it was done, when the work was done. So we can say the work is done now. We can open a pre-order for, I think, that no more than 2 months. People order it, and after that, we know the exact number of prints that we need. We are going to print them and send them. We want to, all the work of send the books will be done before July, so all the people can have a summer with the book. And it's almost, the idea of done at the same time and send all, it was for that, so people can save in shipping. You only have to make one shipping and get the whole work. As shipping costs has increased in a crazy way last years, and it was a way to try to make it easy for the people to have the books.
Was your intention to try to sell internationally, or were you trying to keep it inside the borders and an international Joe community got hungry for your thing?
We are open to international orders.
Obviously, the shipping is going to be more for me.
Yeah, it's you have to wear, because the weight of 8 books and it's going to be high. It's about, I know in kilograms, it's about 10 kilograms. I don't know.
10 gallons?
Yeah. This week, we want to know sure how it costs to be shipped to United States or to South America or another place in Europe.
Yeah, 10 kilograms is about 22 pounds.
Yeah, that, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, I just looked it up on my phone while you were talking, because 22 pounds... And you, listen, there's what, like 3 countries that care what pounds are. Everyone else knows kilograms. So you're speaking everybody's language, and I'm just translating to the few of us. 22 pounds is no small thing to ship. Everything you've outlined, you know, it's not going to be a cheap book series anyways, because this is hardback. This is 8 series, and then it's 22 pounds to ship. But it sounds, and from your Instagram, it looks entirely worth it. You know, you have at least 2 orders from Joel and I. Do you guys already have have you guys already costed out what the pre-order is going to look like before shipping, of course? Or are you still working on the price of that?
It's about 200 euros.
Okay.
Overseas, we still don't know.
Sure. I don't expect you to know shipping.
Yeah, no, we try to, it's, if you think as one book is 25 euro for a book, it have hardcovers, it's at a very high weight of paper. It's, I think that it really has to be a deluxe book. It's have the top of quality we can done, and it's 25 per book. We try to low each cent of the price. It's we are not winning much money with it. The idea is offering the book to any people that we can get. No win money with the book.
Please do not apologize for the cost of this. Like $25 for a premium hardback book is cheap. Like it or not, yes, it's expensive, but if you were to buy a premium hardback book, you should be looking at $40, not $25. $200 euro, it's about $230 US dollars plus taxes, plus shipping. If I'm paying $250 to $300 to get this series, yeah, that's expensive, but I know that I have 2 months to put away pocket change for it. And in the end, like, I haven't seen a book that is this beautiful in layout that covers this much. I have 2 of each of Mark Bellomo's volumes, 2 sets of Carson's thin guides. I have 2 sets of Dan Klingensmith's Creating G.I. Joe books. None of these were cheap. And only the third edition of Mark Bellomo's book was hardback.
Yeah.
You guys are dropping 8 pre-orders premium weight, premium feel. The interiors from your Instagram look amazing. What you guys are explaining to us looks sounds incredible. $25 a book is way more than reasonable, and you guys are not paying yourselves for your time at this point.
No.
This is 3 years of free labor so that all of us can get a series of books that, by everything I'm seeing and hearing, sounds like you're setting the benchmark high for anybody that wants to come after you. So when Eduardo wants to start working on a book from the South American stuff, he has to now match your efforts. Yes, obviously you guys feel, you know, like, hey, we know it's expensive, I'm sorry, but please don't apologize. I mean, that it's expensive because it's quality. I am curious to see, once your pre-order starts, how many people jump in on this, but it sounds like if you don't get in on it, you can't get in on it. Like Brian and Patty do with the After Action Force books or their other books. If you didn't get in on it, it's gone. Is that correct?
Yes. We can afford to stay shipping 1 month after. We want to finish the work, print the book, send the book, and that's all. we will go to another project, to another things, but it's not our work. It was a joy for us to do that.
Yeah.
I think that we don't, because if we don't do it, I don't know if any else will do it. And the first ones that won that book are us. So that's a reason for do the book too. There's something that we want to have, and that's the reason of the book.
I think it's very compelling. I'm hungry for this. When I saw the Facebook post and David, you and I started talking, I had nothing more than a slight glimpse of what you guys were doing, and I was already captivated. You sent me to your Instagram, and I poured through those photos. You and I talked quite a bit, and every step of the way, everything I've seen and heard in our conversations have all just pushed me down further and further into, this is something I need. It's something I have to have. You know, if it was more than 25 an issue, I would still be there. It's something that I can set aside money for over the next few months. I can watch your guys' website and your Instagram, and when it goes live, I'm in. And I implore anybody to be in. I'm going to have to download Duolingo on my phone and learn how to read and write Spanish so that I can read this myself instead of having people come over and read it to me. This is incredible. Like, I am floored. I'm now gushing. I apologize. As I mentioned Instagram several times, you guys are at G.I. Joe in España on Instagram. Do you guys have a Facebook page? Are you on Twitter? Are you anywhere else that people can find you? Your own website?
You can find us at Facebook. You can find us in Twitter. And I think that we have a web too. But that's not my part. That's David Sullivan who's done all that work. And I'm not sure, but I think that it is. I always keep my eye on the world by Facebook or Twitter and Instagram too.
I scroll through Instagram, but I'm usually posting on Twitter or on Facebook myself.
Mainly, each book has a section, no, with the figures, a second one with vehicles. And the vehicles one has boxes in the front and back, and also has the blueprints and the instructions, the stickers, and I don't know, everything we found is there in the figures. We even put distractions on the blisters. We got the car box and scanned all the instructions of how to put missile launcher of how to set up a backpack, no? And at the end, we have all the catalogs, the leaflets, the catalogs from Milton Bradley to a vendor. So it's like a toy fair one, no? With the pigs together with the amount of the product in each box, no, to sell it, no, and later we have advertisement from shops. I don't know. It's everything we could find. So I think it's gonna be a cool read for you guys.
Sounds. I'm excited.
Do you have like a time frame for when you're gonna launch the pre-orders? I know you were talking about trying to have them in hand by July.
Yeah, sure. It's gonna be maybe in a week. We have ready a little text with instructions in Spanish and in English. So it's just to finish a couple of things and to put up the website. Okay. So hope. Around February 14th, more or less. Okay.
I'm ready.
It has to be on that day. I'm sure that it will be on the 4th, on that day.
I know we've been talking to the three of you guys today, but you mentioned that the core team was 5 people. Who are the others in this group?
I don't know if somebody asked not to be mentioned, but I think the work that has been done here is titanic. And you know, one of the things that I like about this book, and it was great that this team was able to come together because it was the right people, you know, the perfect experience in writing books, the perfect experience in collecting the, like, one of the guys that they're probably going to mention has the largest collection I knew about Spanish cards and vehicles all together. Like, it's like having all of them. It's not easy, you know, so having that person who was able to take the pictures to share it or contribute it to the book, and then have the other person that had all the file cards and all the variants. And, you know, this team was like something like really great that it was able to come together so they could actually do this job and pull it off. Because, you know, it's writing a book. It's not only writing. Because I've been wanting to write about international stuff, but I don't have the pictures of everything to put it in and illustrate it, or even for the baggies, or like getting every single piece of the puzzle together in order to be able to do it. It's just, so I don't know if it's worth it, but I think it is to try and mention these people because
absolutely,
they have all done a good job.
And obviously, if there's anybody that likes to be in the shadows, we don't want to force them. But yeah, we definitely, like, if you want to, like, give us the laundry list. And in the books, did you guys give yourselves file cards so that we can read about you as well?
I think that we don't have put that in the book. We really didn't give us so much. I don't know. I know that our names will appear in the cover of the books because we are by law we have to do that. But you don't have to. I don't think that the focus is on us. The core group, as I told you, was by 5 people. One is a firefighter. The other is a journalist. We have 2 informatic engineers. I'm a lawyer, and we are not important here.
You guys are absolutely important here. You guys are an integral part of our community. Even without the book, You guys are collectors. You're one of us. We are of the same tribe. Even though we don't speak the same native language or we come from the same town, we may not have the same beliefs or family structures or whatever. We are a single international tribe. And I would argue you and tell you you're wrong and say that 100% each and every one of you guys are vastly and worldly important. And I know Eduardo's on my side here because he just had a very impassioned breakdown of how you guys are important as collectors and in scope of this book. So 100%, if you guys like to remain humble, that's beautiful, but you guys are absolutely important.
Thank you. I can't say
you very much.
Anything. Thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah. You know, Jason, one thing I want to speak and to tell to the people, Jeju was a worldwide phenomenon. There's a story on every country where Jeju was released, and I love to read the story of Jeju in France, in Italy, in England, in UK, in Brazil. It would be great if a collector from different parts of the world will do a work like this on his own country, because the original line, the original toys, the USA toys, are very new. For all the people, we have a lot of resources to know about it. We have the Lomo guys, JoJo, 3D Joes, but there's a lot of hidden histories in the old countries where the line was released. And I love that line, and I would love to know about all these stories, these little stories that make a big, big history that I think that made such a big thing for our lives, that is the G.I. Joe collection.
I agree.
I'm excited to see your book and just to see the spread of what made it to Spain and what made the cut and what didn't make the cut. And I'm really excited to see how the waves were laid out and compare it to how they were released in the States. It's going to be a very exciting flip through, regardless of, like, you know, not being able to understand everything on the page.
Yeah, you in Spain for as you can understand, it was the most successful toy in 1990, for example. Talking with the marketing senior boss, he told us that they released a million of units for each single figure in 1919. So in a country where we have less than 40 million people, release 1 million of each figure, it was crazy. He said that in that year, one of each three kids have G.I. Joe figures in his home. From the study was from people from 8 to 12, and one of each three have Joe's figure in his home. That's the successful of G.I. Joe in Spain. It was with UK the most important country where the sales was the most high, the most high level in Europe. If you see the boxes and the language you find in the boxes, Hasbro unit the language for the market as the sales goes in every country. The first the second year we share boxes with Italia. But the third year, in 1990, we saw the instructions and the boxes with Italy and with UK. So you can see that in these three countries is where G.I. Joe was more successful in all Europe.
That's incredible. And you said that with Spain, because the Spanish people were not as militaristically focused as, say, like the U.S., was it more adventure team sort of based, or was it just like a lighter version of military?
I think that it was a handicap for the line that be military, because I think that we maybe have some kind of problem with that for Spanish reason of our country. The line in Spain have more handicaps. One of them, you can think about it, and it's easy to know it. We don't have a Cobra Commander since the second year. If you buy a Master of the Universe figure, you have He-Man and you have Skeletor. But in Spain, you don't have Cobra Commander. And the line was successful, even beaten that. The cartoons that we see and the comics that we read are from 1982. In Spain, the number one of G.I. Joe was released in 1987. And the first wave of figures released in 1988 is the figure, the wave of 1986 in U.S., more or less. It's a mix. So the character that that we see in the cartoon and that we read in the comics were not those that we have in the toy line. So it was another handicap. And even with that, it was a great successful. So it's like magic. We have a very good marketing team in Milton Bradley who do commercials on TV. It was really spectacular, the work of that. The work that was done in Spain was after sale in all Europe. The commercials that you see in UK from 1990, for example, were the commercial that was done in Spain. It was a very high successful.
That's amazing.
You see, if you can see that advertisement on TV and watch careful, you see that figures have no weapons and the weapons in the vehicles have been cut. If you saw a cannon, the cannon has been cut. If you say they have no missile and everything that was forbidden on Spain TV, and they are very funny. If you want to have a good time looking at YouTube for G.I. Joe commercials in Spanish, and you see that Silver Mirage with the cut gun and without the missile.
I will absolutely look those up on YouTube. That sounds incredible. Also very charming that they were still able to sell it that successfully with that many handicaps.
Yeah.
Honestly, guys, I could continue to talk to you about this probably for the rest of the day. But as we mentioned, it is 7-hour difference between you and I guess 6 for Joel and Eduardo. It's coming up on dinner time for you guys.
Almost.
Did you guys want to name your team?
First, we have Neil, that is like a big collector of G.I. Joe. He has almost all items in Spain. Those that he doesn't have been very hard to find. David Sullivan, that is our designer, that it's a great designer. I assure you, it's not my first word with him. And will not be my last. We are doing things very soon. Oriol, that is the other guy that has helped in to the job writing text. David, who is here too, and Jose, myself.
Well, I'm very excited that you five found each other and had the conversation, not just of wouldn't it be a great idea, but actually put the blood, sweat, and tears of 3 years behind it, bringing in guys like Eduardo and the rest of your team and help. I'm very excited by this. February 14 is when your pre-order starts. You said the pre-order was going to continue for a couple months.
Yeah.
And then your goal is to do the print and ship so that people have books by July.
Yes, it was. Right. It's our hope, and I'm very pretty sure that we can get to it.
And so, you had mentioned that you guys have also worked on previous things like Motu. So I'm assuming in a couple of years we're going to hear from you with another project.
Not in a couple of years.
Okay.
No. Before.
Sooner.
Sooner. Very very soon. Yeah. I got a primicia here. Myself with David Sullivan are working on a book about a line of Madelman 2050. I don't know if you know the line. It's they are our Spanish GI Joes. They are figures of 3, 3, 4 size, and like Joes with the same points of articulation. And Madelman is like a GI Joe in Spain. In the 60s, we have Madelman of 12 inch. It's a classical toy that when GI Joe came to the new format in 1982, the Madelman goes to that format too, and they release two great series of figures. They are spacemen fighting with lagar men who turn their face, and they have one human face and a reptile face. They are very great, great toys, and we have the world very, very, very almost finished. And wow. I think that this year will be released a book with the story of Madelman 2050, all figures, all boxes, all corporate brochure, all leaflets. And I think that we can do it as soon as we finish the GI Joe work.
All right. I got to stop talking to you guys because now I'm interested in looking up this, seeing what I can find on eBay. That sounds amazing.
They are great figures. They are really great, great figures that were not sold as well as they should be because the great successful of the GI Joe. But they are great, great figures. If you look for them on internet or even in JoJo, they have some pictures of this. Watch, look for them and see. And they are very fun figures.
I'm going to have to just forward 3 or 4 paychecks straight to Spain at this point. Sounds amazing. I've gushed over you guys a lot. I am absolutely in on getting a set of these books. Come February 14, when you guys' pre-order goes live, we're going to run that pre-order for, you know, a month or two to make sure that people have time to get money together and to order this book. I implore anybody that loves G.I. Joe to not sleep on this. You have to back this incredible team, these incredible guys, this incredible project. I'm going to find another adjective outside of incredible because I'm using that a lot today. I really, truly appreciate the fact that you took time out of your evening, away from your families, your meal time and everything else to sit down with Joel and I and chat about this. And I'm excited to continue talking to you guys about this offline. And when the books come live and they show up in my grubby little fingers for me to come on here and gush about them some more. Outside of this, you guys are always welcome to come back and chat just about G.I. Joe. I would love to dig deeper into why you collect, what you collect, and how, because we are of a people, and I truly appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure for us to stay here. We like to share our passion with you, because we know that you share that passion too. So it was a pleasure. It was very comfortable to stay here. And I only want to think thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
It's always a joy to sit around the campfire with your tribe, tell lies, share stories. Hopefully, you know, post-COVID, with things start to travel again, you know, one of you guys will end up at a show in the U.S. or I'll end up overseas, and we can actually clink bottles in person.
That's the best part of collecting, man. That's the best part of this community. I mean, I remember talking to all of them and then meeting David, meeting Lems, meeting so many people that have, you know, I have learned so much from them. So it's fun. It's really cool.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
I want to have my copy. That's my goal. My final goal is to have my copy. It's the only important. And I know that when we are in at the point that we are now, that we are going to have it in a month. I love to have and touch with my hands the world of all this time. It's been a lot of time. The situation of the COVID has help us in a way to finish the work, because we have a lot of nights working when we were at home, and we spend a lot of time making this. This has helped us a lot of passing through the situation of stay at home, and it's special for us for that reason too. It was like the time when our head broke from reality and working in the book, and we were happy while having a really bad time.
This has been The Order of Battle.